Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I told Cynthia to stop the hunt a couple weeks ago, to call off the long search, to find someone to cover for me for worship leadership today, and that I would lead worship in the midst of my vacation, I thought it would be not much of a problem. I wasn't planning on being away today anyway, and I could make it even easier on myself. I'd use an old sermon. You know, at this point, I got a few in the file. Use an old one. Easy. No problem. But then things started to happen. Charlottesville, terrorist attacks in places like Spain. Old sermon. Out. What now, though? What now, indeed? I've read over the last week many a call to Christian preachers, including from the United Church of Christ, a collegium of officers, imploring clergy to speak up, speak out against the white nationalists, the white supremacists, the alt-right, as they are often referred to, etc. To say something, speak up in protest, say no. That seemed like a pretty good idea, very good idea, in fact. How hard would that be? Speak out against the president's response to Charlottesville? Easy. Governor LePage's response, which backed up the president's response? Even easier. Sermon, done. 5-10 minutes. How hard would that be? But then there was the cold, hard reality of writing out some notes. What to say, exactly? Anyone here who thinks that racism is a good idea? That white nationalism is the way to go? Anyone here finding kindred spirits in reading alt-right propaganda? I didn't think so. Sometimes preaching to the choir is a good thing. Sometimes it doesn't feel especially productive. Sure, it would be worthwhile to say something against the president and the governor, who both pointed out that both sides in the current debate, or many sides as they've been referred to, have shown violent tendencies, but failed to point out that one of the sides, the side that started the whole thing, started it with some pretty vile stuff, touting old and hateful rhetoric of the KKK and Nazis. I mean, when David Duke thinks you're doing the right thing, seems clear enough that you're probably doing the wrong thing. Sure, both sides, or many sides, I guess, showed a propensity for violence, but the group that started it, that organized the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville to begin with, has plenty of material that ought to be criticized. And while it is significant to recognize the freedom of speech, even when the speech of people who spew vile hatred, it is certainly appropriate to criticize such speech. But is it worthy of a sermon today? And I need to tell you that I wasn't sure. And I've struggled with that, especially this morning, when I was actually rereading some of the notes I had taken and thinking exactly what I was going to say today. This, I think, is the third thing that I came up with this morning. And let me tell you why. While I would love to think that what I have to say, what we have to say, is Old South Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Hollowell, Maine, to speak up against bigotry and hatred, racism, and a whole host of other isms, well, I would love to say that what I have to say is important, would be listened to, would make a difference. It also seems painfully clear that what's going on in the country right now is another sad indicator of the sidelining of religion and Christianity in particular. Today's alt-right, proponents of white supremacy, they don't turn to the Bible for guidance. In fact, religion is not a major factor in the hatred that they spew and write about. The Bible is not a place for inspiration for them. While clergy may gather and may march in protest, and it's not that I would argue that we or they shouldn't do so, but they do so with not nearly the same sort of moral weight as in the early days of the civil rights movement, when religion, Christianity specifically, were foundational pieces for many. Religion and Christianity are no longer in the forefront, no longer fundamental, no longer as important as they once were. I was reading a piece this morning for an article that was in The Atlantic that noted that it's not only liberals fleeing the church, it's Republicans as well. And this morning, as we sit in our sanctuary, so did anyone do a count this morning? 25. It's hard to understand the significance of what we do to stand up and to speak up against racism, white supremacy, white nationalism. So what do we do now, people of faith? What do we do now? What are we called to do? What are we called to be when we don't have that weight behind us, that our words are spoken in the same language in opposition? Because what is spoken and the hatred that is spewed is not the language of the Bible. It's not the language of theologians. We've been pushed to the side. So what do we do, people of faith? What are we called to be, people of faith? For we know that racism is a reality. We know, whether we want to really admit it or not. Now, recently, our son was pulled over for speeding. He called, 11 o'clock at night to tell me the story of what had happened. So I wasn't thinking a lot about it then, other than it'll be okay, John. Just we'll take care of it. But the next day, it did occur to me that I had the luxury of not worrying about his life during that kind of stop by the police. That is a luxury. It's a privilege that I get to enjoy. We know that racism is a reality, but what do we do? Our small congregation, our small voices, what are we called to be? What are we called to do in the face of such a large reality of what's happening out there? I don't have actually any good answers this morning, except to say this. I want to read our psalm again today, and I want us to really focus. Close your eyes if it'd be helpful, focus. And I want you to think, as I'm reading this psalm, as we're reading this ancient bit of wisdom, this ancient piece, to think about what it means for us to live, what it means for us to be people who are called to sing praises to God. And what does that mean for you the moment you step out of this building? So close your eyes if it would help. Focus in some way, look at the ceiling, look at the floor, but think about what it's going to mean for you to live your life in praise of God when you walk out of this building. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. And if nothing else, may we be those people who feel called, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, to live in praise of the God we know, who loves us beyond anything we can imagine, and be the people we're called to be in a world that is so unfortunately so filled with hatred. If you've never felt so called before, let it be so now. Praise be to God. Amen.